Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Welcome to the Silence the Mind Cluck podcast. I'm Maria T. Finch. I'm an intuitive strategy guide, and I am thrilled to have Paul Thornton with me here today. Paul, welcome.
Thank you, Maria. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so glad to have you. So tell us a bit about you.
Well, I worked in business for 20 years, mostly in the HR function.
Oh, interesting.
I transitioned to college teaching, and I did that for about 20 years as well.
Wow.
Along the way, I've done a lot of seminars and workshops and written books and articles and things like that. My passion, I would say, is leadership, management, and managing stress. Those are probably my three biggie areas that I've focused on. I'm semi-retired now. I don't like the word retired. I want to keep engaged and keep contributing and adding value. So I'm trying to do that with podcasts and with articles and books and stuff like that. So that's my background.
That's great. Wow. What a powerful background. So I know that you have developed a really outstanding formula for approaching stress and managing stress. Tell us a bit about your formula.
Yeah, the formula is really very simple, but I think it is practical and I think people can relate to it. It simply demands, when demands exceed your coping skills, you get a stress reaction.
Okay.
So it's D over CS equals SR. So when your demands exceed your coping skills, you get a stress reaction of some sort.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's break it down a little bit for the audience. So first, let's just define demands. I mean, I've read the article, so I know what we're talking about here, but for our audience, let's just categorize demands a bit.
Yeah. I think each of us in our lives, we have a set of demands that really run the gamut from easy things to more challenging things. But demands are really anything that requires you to do something, you know, go to the store to buy milk, cut the grass, pay bills, design a lecture, design a podcast, whatever it is. And I think on any given day, each of us has a list of demands that we must deal with. You know, we have to cope with and we have to get things done and accomplish stuff, et cetera. So everyone's demands are a bit different and they go in peaks and valleys. At times our demands increase, at other times they're reduced, but they fluctuate. And if you break it down further, demands really, some relate to your work, some relate to your family, some relate to your social life, some relate to your personal interests and career development, things like that. So it's a wide spectrum, but those are your demands.
Right. And I think I want to add on to that, that I think that Mind Cluck, you know, we're on Silence the Mind Cluck. So I think Mind Cluck can get particularly loud around demands and particularly loud when we're feeling overwhelmed with demands. And sometimes I think Mind Cluck actually creates demands that don't exist. So we can get into that a little later. But so now let's talk about coping strategies.
Okay. So the question is, you got all these demands. How do you cope with them? Well, I think people have to have some self-management skills. You know, you have to be able to set goals and priorities and manage your time, make decisions, you know, those types of things. You need some techniques at relaxing, and you need some techniques at exercise, jogging, going for walks, things like that. So each person, again, develops a different set of coping skills, but we all need some techniques to deal with the demands that we face day in and day out, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. So going a little deeper into coping skills, what have you, and I realize this is something that's different for every single person on earth. So for our audience, there are a bazillion techniques out there for things that you can do to quiet your mind, to relax, to take a break from things. But for just for fun, Paul, what have you personally found to be effective?
Well, I personally meditate. I meditate 2 to 3 times a day. That seems to quiet my mind, helps me get focused. But you're right, you need some technique. My daughter goes to yoga, and that's worked well for her. Other people go for a walk in the woods, and it seems to, be calming and takes their mind off of all of their demands for a short period of time, things like that. So it's important each person find a technique that works or techniques that work for them.
Yeah, that's so true. And for our listeners, like every single podcast episode, we're talking about a variety of techniques so you can listen and learn a whole lot of them. When you meditate, Paul, how long are you meditating for? Like, what kind of time commitment are you talking about?
It can go from anywhere from a few minutes to 20 minutes. So it varies. Sometimes just a few minutes can get me centered and get me focused. Other times it takes longer because there's a lot of mind clutter going on and it takes longer. So
And if you're going through your day and you hit a moment where you really feel stressed, so this is where your demands are outweighing the coping skills that you're using at that moment. What's the fastest way for you? What have you found is the fastest way for you to recenter? Is it to do a quick meditation? Is it to step outside? Like in that first moment when you're just like, "Ugh, what am I gonna do?" What do you turn to?
Two things. One would be to do a quick meditation. Another would be to get up and separate myself from my work, get away from it for a while, go for a short walk or just get out of the house for a bit, but change the scenery a little bit to take my mind off it, and that can help get me to get more centered and ready to go back to it after a few minutes.
So given that you're also an expert in leadership, tell us about how you advise leaders and managers. So if we have managers or leaders of companies who are listening to this podcast, what recommendations do you have for them, both for not only managing their own stress, but also for helping their team? Because I think you can be in situations where all of a sudden, like the demands on a team become overwhelming. And as the leader or the manager, what's the best thing they can do?
Well, one thing I teach managers and leaders is to make sure you're focused on the right demands. These days, the demands just keep coming at you. Managers just keep overloading their employees. I lost you there for a minute. So one thing they have to do is minimize or cut down the demands as much as possible. Secondly, I think they need to model some coping techniques that work for them and encourage their employees to develop some techniques that they can use to deal with their demands. And again, it can be meditation, it can be taking a short break here and there throughout the day, it can be taking a walk at lunchtime, it can be talking to a colleague about what's going on, but it's got to be something that works for you. And a lot of times people need to experiment and try different techniques and see, what works and what doesn't, and go with what works, obviously. But yeah, I think it's an important topic. Managing your stress level is critically important because when you get stressed out, your productivity goes downhill very quickly. And, you're just not getting things done. You're not feeling good about yourself, and it's not good.
So let's talk a little bit about why don't you define your stress reaction? So it's demands, if demands are greater than, I'm trying to do the
simple right here. I know. Yeah,
yeah. If demands are greater than your coping skills, then you end up with a stress reaction. Tell us what you put into the stress reaction category.
Yeah, the stress reaction can be behaviors. You know, you can yell, scream, have a temper tantrum. You can do things like that. Or it can be psychological. You can be nervous and anxious and worried and unable to concentrate, or it can be physical. You know, I mean, ulcers, headaches, backaches, all those types of things. So it can be really all three of those things as well, you know?
Right.
But it can be any one of those.
Yeah. And so for our listeners, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh gosh, I have one or many of those particular symptoms right now.
Yeah.
It's, I sort of look at all of this. I look at MindClick this way too, is you're getting alerts. So you think of it as like little flags going up saying, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Are you paying attention? Mm-hmm. And I consider that flag to be essentially like your body, your mind, your soul saying things are not aligned right now. Mm-hmm. And so your demands are mm-hmm. outweighing the coping skills you're using. And so you are stressed out. Mm-hmm. And I think that in our society, because I think most people are stressed most of the time, it's like you get to a point where you don't even notice it. Mm-hmm. But if you take the time to actually tune back in and recognize like, wait a minute, I don't feel that great physically most of the time.
Yeah.
Is it stress? And if it is stress, start looking for coping mechanisms that can help mm-hmm. you reduce that stress.
Mm-hmm. I have found that with the demands increasing in many people's lives, the first thing they do is they cut back on their coping skills.
Right.
You know, they stop going to yoga. They stop meditating because they're trying to free up some time to deal mm-hmm. with their demands, you know?
Right.
And the problem is they get more stressed out because they're not using any coping skills.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they're really stressed out, you know? And that's not good.
Yeah.
So my advice to people I deal with is to make sure when you have tough demands you're facing, don't cut back on your coping skills. Matter of fact, increase them. You know,
yes.
Go to yoga. If you go once a week, go twice. If you meditate mm-hmm. once a day, do it twice a day.
Yeah.
So increase your coping skills so you'll be more centered, more focused, more clear, and able to deal with the issues you got to deal with.
And so for people listening who are thinking, well, but I don't have time. Like, how could I possibly do that when I don't have time? What's your best recommendation with that mindset?
That is very true. That's a very common mindset. But I think that mindset is exactly what makes you stop doing the coping skills.
Yeah.
I think if you use your coping skills effectively, it will center you and it will mm-hmm. clear your mind. So you can be more productive and more thoughtful and make better decisions and more timely decisions. So investing some time in your coping skills will help you be more productive is kind of the idea. You know, does it always work? No, it doesn't always work, but it's better than getting totally stressed out and totally unfocused and your productivity goes down to zero and you're a mess. You know, that's not good.
Right. One of the things that people can try is, so if you're in one of those days when you're just like, oh my gosh, I am totally overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you don't have time to meditate, take a walk, take a break, do something for yourself that will help you, that will calm you and center you, then my challenge to you is write down how you do spend your time during that day.
Mm-hmm.
And what you will be surprised to discover is how much time gets wasted
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just by worrying,
mm-hmm.
by distracting yourself. Like, I've noticed this with myself. Sometimes I catch myself in this. So I love to do spelling bee on the New York Times. It's a word game. And mm-hmm. I do it because I think it's good for my brain and whatever.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll find myself, I go to spelling bee and then I'm like, what am I really doing here? Like if it calms me, that's great. But yeah. if it just feels like another thing to do, then it's just another demand and it's yeah. not really helping me in any way.
Yeah.
So if instead I take a walk, I do a meditation, punch a pillow, you know, you can do things like that to like let stress out and then go back to what you're doing. But what I think is really fascinating is if you could just do this as an exercise anyway, write down how you spend your time during the day and you'll be surprised how much time isn't actually productive.
Right.
And that's all time that you could be spending on coping skills, which are productive in making you feel better.
Mm-hmm. I think, Maria, too, it's important to remember that some coping skills don't take a lot of time. As I said earlier, I can meditate for, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. It's again, it's not an hour or 2 hours. It's short and quick, but it can bring me back to my centered position and help me get, you know, re-energized to keep dealing with my demands.
So. Yeah. And I so agree with you just about changing the environment. So literally like walk into a different room. Mm. It doesn't even have to be that you go take a walk around the block, although that's always a good idea, but you could literally just walk into a different room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when you walk into that room, count things. So be like, okay, how many things do I see that are blue? Like you're directing your mind somewhere and that gives you a break and that'll refresh you.
Yep. Very true. Very true.
And so I know that you talked about, in your article, you talk about reducing demands. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about that. Like, what's your approach to reducing demands? So for people who are thinking, how can I possibly reduce any of my demands? Like the answer is you can. So tell us how.
Well, when I was in the business world, you know, one thing I'd do is I'd make a to-do list each day and I might have 10 items on my to-do list. So the first thing I would ask myself is there anything on there I can delegate to someone else? Mm-hmm. You know, my administrative assistant or someone on my team or someone, you know, so can I reduce my list that way? And then secondly is, do I really need to accomplish all of these 10 items or can I cut it back to 8 or 7 or whatever? And then prioritize, you know, what are the top 1 to 3 things I absolutely must get done and be able to focus in on those, you know? So I think that's one thing people can do in their business life or personal life. If you have anyone you can delegate to, sometimes we get in habits of, like in the business world, again, we schedule meetings and they've just been going on for years and years. And you step back and you say, is this meeting really accomplishing what I need to accomplish? You know, can I stop the meeting, or rather than having a 60-minute meeting, can I have a 30-minute meeting, you know, or can I do it via email, or can I do it with a Zoom call, or, you know, I don't know.
Right.
So there are ways to look at your demands and think about what can I do to reduce them, eliminate them, cut them down, you know, because a lot of things we do, you question, is it really adding value? You know, do I really need to do this? So that's one thing.
I think that's such an important thing to ask yourself with any to-do list. Mm. I love lists. For me, I love lists because I love crossing things off. But somebody suggested to me having fewer things on my list. So basically what you're saying right now, which is take your top priorities. So I write down my 3 top priorities and then I might have other things, but because they're not priorities, those are just things where it's like, well, if I get to it, I get to it. Mm. And it's really freeing because once you get those top 3 things done, then you're kind of like, okay, I'm ahead of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which also reduces stress.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes you feel good. You know, you accomplish the 3 important things and that means you're making progress, you know, because those are the top things you got to get done. So that's a good thing.
A good thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also find that another really important thing with demands. So thinking about demands in one's personal life, I think that this can be something that can become overwhelming very easily if you're already busy at work and then you've got demands in your personal life. And to really look at them and decide, like, do I really need to do this? Mm. And this comes to being comfortable saying no. Mm. And mm-hmm. being able to say, well, you know, I've been invited to this thing and this thing and this thing, and that is going to be way too much. I don't, you know, and then just being like, you know what? It's okay if I say no. I think it's really good to develop that skill.
I think that's so true also, having clear boundaries and being able to say, no, I'd love to do that, but I really can't because I have, you know, three other things I need to get done is so important, because people without boundaries just keep saying yes, 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 and mm-hmm. their to-do list or their demand list becomes overwhelming, you know?
Right.
It's you got to draw the line at some point. And most people understand that. I mean, we all have many things going on in our lives that we'd like to do. We're being invited to do things. And, you know, sometimes it's just, I'd love to do it, but no, I can't. Thank you for asking, but maybe another time, you know?
Yeah. And I think one thing that's important for people to recognize, because I think that so often if we decline something, we might feel really bad and we're worried we're hurting the other person's feelings or whatever, but flip it. So the next time you invite somebody to something and they say, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't do it for whatever reason, like, don't take that personally and just be like, oh, okay, I understand. You know, your demands are outweighing your coping skills and I don't want to add to your stress.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
so when you start to, when you're able to offer that to people to be like, oh yeah, I really get it. Then it becomes more comfortable. And then you also feel more comfortable saying no yourself. Like, I think there are two sides to that and you can learn from both sides of it.
Yeah. I think that's very true.
Yeah. So what else do you recommend for our audience?
Well, I think managing your stress, I think, should be a priority. It's really an important topic these days. Thinking about it, having a plan of how you're going to deal with it is important. And then, you know, implementing that plan, sticking with it. And like I say, doing your coping skills, make them habits. Habits are things that we typically do every day. And if we can incorporate those habits into our lives, we're much more likely to, in fact, do it. So
yeah,
I think that's
really
important.
True.
And if I think you know, cut your demands down, increase your coping skills, you'll be a lot happier. You'll get more done. You'll be more productive. And that's really what we want to do, right? I mean, we want to add value, as I said earlier. So
right.
That's important.
It's so true. Like, I have found that when I have so many demands coming at me, if I take the time to use one of my coping strategies, and I have a whole bunch of different ones, then when I go back to whatever I'm working on, I can accomplish it very quickly. Because like, my mind is centered and focused, and so I can just bang it out. And so when you're struggling with something, when you're struggling with getting something done, that's a signal to stop and go to one of your coping strategies. Because if it's taking you an extra long time to write that article, write that chapter, prepare that speech, prepare that presentation, complete whatever you're completing at work or something at home, it just means like you're in the stress reaction. You're not able to truly focus. And so if you take a break, you use one of your coping strategies and you go back to it, you'll get it done like that.
Yep. I agree. And one thing we didn't talk about is negative coping skills. You know,
let's talk about that.
Overeating, over drinking, you know, those, of course, there's a number of things we shouldn't do to cope. I'm talking about positive techniques and approaches you can use to, you know, reduce your demands and get your head cleared and focused and that type of thing. So be mindful of the traps of falling into the negative coping skills. That's not good. That's going to hurt you. And that creates a new demand for you, which of course you don't want. So,
yeah, that's really true. I had somebody on the podcast earlier this year, maybe it was even last year, who was saying that he started to recognize that he was going home every night and having a couple glasses of wine. And he's like, you know, all of a sudden, he's like, when he finally tuned into that he was doing that, he was like, well, wait a minute, why am I doing that? Because then he would wake up not feeling that great. And then he was kind of starting off his day from a not good place.
Mm,
And it took him a while to even recognize that he had been in that pattern. And I think that's one of the things that can be important to do is to actually like really pay attention. So to say, keep watching for your body's signals, you know, so I'm tired, I'm thirsty, I'm cranky, I'm whatever. And when you pay attention to the signals and you actually respond to them and you give them what they need, then it gets better. So, you know, if you're thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm so angry right now, I want to just, you know, punch my computer, then you're like, step away. Signal is step away. So start watching for those signals and also pay attention to the habits that you have. So maybe your habit is every time I have a bad day, I eat a pint of ice cream. Well, that might feel great in the moment, but your heart won't appreciate it. Whatever.
May not be the healthiest choice you can make.
Yeah. But I think that it can be so easy for us to just be in routines that we don't even recognize what we're doing that might actually be adding to the demand side of the equation.
Yeah, I agree.
So starting with awareness, awareness is always key.
And just my final thought, I think it's important that managers and leaders not only manage their own stress, but they think about their team. What can they do to help reduce their stress? You know, what can they cut out? What priorities or what things are they assigning that really aren't that important? You know, how can they better prioritize tasks for their team? How can they help them develop coping skills, time management skills, being more organized, things like that? So there's a lot you can do to help your team members develop the skills they need to be more productive in the long run and cope better and be more effective and more successful. So
And I think that one of the things that's most important, I've been a manager myself, I think one of the things that's most important is to be paying attention. So if you notice that different members of your team are really maxed out, like those are the people you spend time with and try to understand, you know, what's going on. Is it a combination of things at work and things at home? And what are the things that you can recommend to help somebody ease what's going on in their own life so that being at work is not torture for them?
Yeah, as we said, Maria, paying attention is so important because people's demands go up and down. And like you said, depending on their family life, something might be going on at home. So all of a sudden they're really stressed because their demands have increased significantly and there's a tragic thing going on at home or they're now taking care of their elderly parents that they weren't, you know, 2 weeks ago and just their whole life is turned upside down, you know? So yeah, paying attention to the signals of, you know, what's this person doing or not doing or saying or not saying, you know, being aware is very important. So
And as a manager, you can only help people if you're really paying attention. And you're understanding what's going on in their lives and then responding in kind. And so maybe you lighten their load for a little while or you talk with them about what would ease their ability to get done what they need to get done.
I know when I was a single contributor working in the business world, I only focused on my needs, you know, my goals, my needs, what was going on in my life, et cetera, et cetera. When I became a manager, there was a big shift. Now I had to start thinking about what's going on with my employees. You know, what are their goals? What are their needs? What's going on with them? And some people can make that shift well and other people struggle with it and they keep going back to their own needs, which again is not what managers and leaders need to do. They need to focus on the people that they're managing and leading. So it's a simple point, but it's an important point.
It is such an important point. And I would take it even further to say that if you find yourself in a management position and you're feeling like, whoa, I'm not sure how to do this effectively, get help. There are so many resources out there to help you become a super effective manager. I personally believe the most important thing is caring about your team. caring about them as humans, caring about them for their work. Mm-hmm. But I think like really paying attention to what's going on for them will ensure that number one, they love working for you. And number two, that they'll be super productive and effective.
So maybe you hit on a very important point, the whole thing about being aware, you know, aware of what's going on in your life, your demands, coping skills, as well as your team. It really starts there. If you're not aware, if you're kind of in a blind spot or not really picking up on the clues and what's going on, you really don't know what to do to help, you know? So increase your awareness. And I will go round circle here that when we are in a good place, we are more aware. When That's we're not true. Stressed and we're not distracted and we're focused and in the moment, we're more aware, so that's a good thing, and that can help us, again, manage our stress and be more productive and successful for ourselves and our team.
So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So any last word of wisdom you'd like to give to our audience before we sign off?
Make managing your stress a top priority. That's my final thought.
And I think that is a really good one.
Yeah. Especially isn't this month is mental health month, I think.
Okay. All right.
I think it is. So it's even more important this month. So yeah.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, Paul, thank you so much for being on here. I love your formula. For everyone, we will have links in the show notes so you can get to all of this information. Mm-hmm. And thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, Maria, for having me. It was a good discussion.
Okay. All right. Everyone, have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening. Bye. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free strategy session with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a fabulous day.